Welcome to City Church's podcast, and thanks for joining us. Open up a Bible and listen in. And now, here's Pastor Kyle with today's message.
My message title today is The Difference of Deliverance. There's a scene in the movie Bruce Almighty where Bruce awakes to the sudden and overwhelming ability to hear everyone's prayers that they're asking God about. And out of nowhere, he can hear all these different voices asking for all kinds of different things. Now, I gotta say, I don't recommend the movie for its theology, but it's a funny movie. Here's why I share this little anecdote today. You don't need to be granted temporary divine superpowers to know what just about everyone who's alive today is praying for. I'll tell you what they're praying. They're praying, Lord, deliver us from this virus. Isn't that what you're praying for right now? I know I am. Man, divine deliverance would make all the difference. And certainly God can do anything he wants to do. But at least up until today, the Lord has allowed this virus to continue. Psalm 91 is a great text to read about divine deliverance. So open a Bible there now. We're going to pray, and then we're going to read it together. Would you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are our deliverer. You are our provider. You are our hope in time of need. And so, Lord, today we pray that as we read your word, that you would open our eyes to see what you want us to see from it, that you would open our ears to hear what you want us to hear from it, and God, that you would open our hearts today, that we would respond and become the disciples you want us to be as a result of it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 91, 1 through 6 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall befall you, no plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and on the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." What an amazing passage, isn't it? Here's a question to think about to start us off from Psalm 91. Is this a promise from God that we can take him to the bank on every time? Or is this kind of one of those things that's more of a principle that rings true over time? Well, allow me to make a case for each side. Here's an argument in favor of it being more of a principle. As a whole, the Psalms and Proverbs tend to be mostly in the principles that ring true category of the Bible rather than the promises from God on every occasion kind of portion of literature. And on top of that, there's the whole human experience component to add to all of this. Simply put, all of us have had times when it seemed like God just didn't deliver us. Or maybe it was with someone we know from a certain situation. So that would kind of, for me at least, seem to put it more in the overarching principle category of things. Now here's an argument in favor of it being a promise straight from God. The "you" in the text that refers to believers is singular throughout the entire psalm. And usually in the Bible, when you see that word "you" referring to believers, it's meaning you all, plural, or like you Southerners know how to say, y'all. In other words, it's believers collectively. It's pretty remarkable when you think about the fact that Psalm 91 uses the singular form of the word "you" in its entirety. That's a pretty solid point in favor of it applying as a personal promise from God for every believer for all time. Now, let me give you my theologically profound and thought-through answer. And if you go to City Church on a regular basis, or you've heard me say this before, you know that means, say it out loud in your house, I don't know. So is Psalm 91 a promise or is it a principle? The first thing I want you to write down is you decide. I lean on it being more of a promise, but unfortunately, I've seen believers take Psalm 91 to mean that nothing bad will ever happen to them because they're Christians. You know, every human being on planet Earth knows that's just not true. Horrible things have happened to amazing believers all throughout history. And at the same time, there's also a measure of divine protection that every believer can personally attest to. One of the things that is even cited in Psalm 91:6 as something God will deliver us from is a pestilence. A pestilence is a disease. Read the wording again. It says, "You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness." Guys, we're facing the very definition of a pestilence that stalks in the darkness. Think about it. You don't know where it is. You don't know who has it. People who have it don't even know they have it. And we're told that they're the ones who are spreading it everywhere. Everybody's on edge. And God says, if we follow him, we don't need to fear the pestilence that stalks in the darkness because we're covered in the shadow of his wings. So how does Psalm 91:6 apply to our current pestilence known as COVID-19? Is it reasonable to expect that Christians won't get this, or that if they do, they won't die from it? Well, the short answer to that question is that some very godly Christians have already died in significant number from this outbreak. In fact, I know of a pastor who recently passed away from it. Sometimes God's deliverance from a person's situation is death. All of us have watched someone deteriorate to the point where death was a deliverance. So yes, I believe Psalm 91 is a promise from God. And at the same time, I think God's deliverance looks differently than you and I would like at times. In John 16:33, it was Jesus who promised us that in the world you will have trouble. In other words, there's going to be hardship. There's going to be things that don't work out. But then in the very next sentence, Jesus also promised, "But take heart, because I have overcome the world." And so we can't take Psalm 91 to mean that Christians will be perfectly delivered from every bad situation every time. We can trust that Jesus overcame the world. We can trust that he will be with us all the time. We can trust that in and through him, we will be overcomers. So here's how I think the deliverance of Psalm 91 applies to us today. Whether you think Psalm 91 is a promise straight from the lips of God to your life, or a principle that rings true over time, the application and the implication for what God expects believers to do to experience it and the benefits of Psalm 91 are the same. So the next section says Psalm 91 means this. And the first thing that Psalm 91 means is that God wants every person to dwell in and trust in him daily. Verse 1 starts out by mentioning, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty." Our dwelling place is where we live. There's an old saying, we abide in an abode. Our abode is where we live. It's our home. Many of us are spending so much time in our abodes right now that we're learning all kinds of new things about them that we never noticed before, and all kinds of problems inside of them that we never saw before. Psalm 91 says that we are to dwell in the Lord, that God's very presence needs to be our home where we reside, not just a place that we visit from time to time. Just like any dwelling offers shelter and shade, so does our home in the Lord. And only the Lord can offer relief from the unsolvable problems of this world. Man, isn't that comforting? If you and I truly dwell in the Lord, we will find the comfort and the calming shade and constant protection that only God can bring. The blessings of Psalm 91 apply to the Christian who dwells in the Lord. It's unrealistic to expect that those who only run to the Lord in times of trouble will experience all the blessings associated with this psalm. Here's the next thing. Secondly, believers who dwell in the Lord can personally attest to a lifelong pattern of deliverance. Hey, this is where every believer should be saying amen. I couldn't even begin to count the bad situations that the Lord has delivered me from. Could you? You know, I can think of many tests back in the days when I was in school where I didn't think I would pass or make it through the end of college or eventually get through grad school. In fact, I still sometimes have nightmares where I wake up in the night and I think I didn't turn in some assignment from the past. But you know what? God delivered me from all that and I got through it. In some cases from my past, I can think of sinful things that I was actually drawn to, where the Lord shut all the doors before they could even happen. And God supernaturally delivered me from myself. Sometimes God will deliver you from things you don't even know you need deliverance from at the time. God will even protect you from yourself. Sometimes you might think it's not that big of a deal at the time, but God will take you out of it and he'll show you that his way is better. I can think of a relationship that I thought was the one at the time, and God knew it was 100% wrong for me. When it ended, I can remember begging God in prayer for it to come back to me. But today, I thank the Lord that he delivered me by giving me the opposite of what I prayed for. See, God knew the spouse I really needed, my Lisa. And God wasn't going to let me settle for anything less. I can think of a job that I prayed for at a church that I loved more than just about anything else. And no matter how hard I tried or prayed for it, man, those doors just never open. God knew that if I had gotten that particular church job, I would never have left because it would have been so comfortable. But God didn't want me comfortable. He wanted Lisa and I to start City Church. I can think of a time when we planted City Church in September of 2009 during the greatest economic downturn other than the one we're facing today, and in a time when startups were failing left and right and money was in short supply, the Lord met our every need. Man, guys, I could go on and on from my personal experience attesting to my lifelong pattern of deliverance as someone who dwells in the Lord. And my guess is you could do the exact same thing. You could recount time after time after time when the Lord delivered you as well. So here's where Psalm 91 absolutely rings true for every single one of us. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus and dwells in the shadow of the Almighty will be able to personally attest to that lifelong pattern of deliverance. And if you have experienced the deliverance of the Lord, I just want you to say amen in your house right now. So here's the third thing that Psalm 91 means for every believer for all time. See, God gives us the deliverance we need the most, not always the one we're asking for. Sometimes God is delivering us from something that's actually deeper than the thing that we're asking for. And the deliverance that we're asking for is not always the one that we really need. Sometimes God brings about the deliverance after a while, but lets us wait to build up our character in the meantime. Honestly, guys, hindsight is often the only way for us to know what God was delivering us from and what he's delivering us to. So let's continue to pray for supernatural deliverance from COVID-19. I've seen direct evidence that the Lord is definitely lessening this thing. I've seen evidence that the vast majority of people out there are experiencing the protection of the Lord as described in Psalm 91. Now, let me ask you a question. What do you need deliverance from today? Now, the immediate and the obvious answer is this virus, but I want you to dig down deeper inside of your own soul right now. How is this virus causing you to feel? Do you find yourself constantly feeling anxious and afraid? Do you find yourself stuck in the news more than in the word or more than in prayer? You know, the Lord will deliver us from this pestilence. I believe that 100%. But in the meantime, there might be something that the Lord wants to deliver inside of you and I. I believe God wants to teach us trust and obedience in times of severe uncertainty. I believe God is temporarily removing earthly creature comforts so we can find our fulfillment in him. I believe God has made our nation lie down for a season. And it might not feel restful, but guys, families are eating meals together again. How amazing is that? We're learning to live again. We got really good at living without God, didn't we? Think about it. If you needed something, you didn't need to pray about it because you had Amazon Prime. And most of the time, they'd get it to you by the end of the day if you click it in the right amount of time. You didn't need to trust God for your health because our healthcare system was decent, more or less. Sure, it isn't great and can always be better, but it was reliable. Until suddenly, the world faces this virus that nobody knows how to treat. There's no vaccine for it, and there's no clear end in sight. And so all of a sudden, we're left with no other option but to trust God. Friends, there's nothing wrong with any of the earthly things we find comfort in. But the problem, I believe, is that we started relying on those things for comfort, for protection, and deliverance that ultimately only God can deliver. Friends, God made us so much stronger than we often give ourselves credit for. Let's return to a biblical faith that trusts God in the midst of unbelievable uncertainty today. Let's return to Abraham's faith, who looked at this land that didn't belong to him, and this guy who simply trusted this God who said that it would be given to him and it would come about just as God said it would, and it did. Let's return to that faith that Abraham had when God said that he would give him an heir, and here he was in his 90s without a child through Sarah. Let's return to Daniel's faith, who trusted in God in that lion's den and in the fiery furnace for deliverance. Let's return to David's faith as he approached Goliath the giant with nothing more than a sling, a few stones, and the power of the living God. Let's return to Jesus' faith as he went into the wilderness trusting the Lord for provision and for protection, even though it was hot and miserable. Let's return to Jesus' faith on the cross as he breathed his last breath, knowing that all along that was his mission, to die that way, only to rise from the grave 3 days later. Let's return to the faith of the apostles as they prayed in the upper room expectantly for the Lord to move. Man, what a lesson we can learn from that today in our current situation. Let's return to the faith of the early church as they proclaimed the gospel in a hostile world that was ripped apart by fear and anxiety. Friends, the church of Jesus always grows, but never quite like in times of uncertainty and turmoil. There's something about the physical need to be dependent on God for deliverance that the Lord just responds to. And we're in the midst of that right now. It's hard, but God is still our shelter. He is still our refuge. He is still our dwelling place. And he's still delivering us from problems and pestilences. He's still covering us with his wings. His faithfulness is still our shield. We don't need to be afraid. And no matter how many thousands fall by night, we can still trust that he's sending his angels concerning us to guard over us in all of our ways. He is protecting us because he knows our name. And when we call to him, he answers us. He's with us in times of trouble. He rescues us and honors us. He satisfies us with long life and shows us his salvation. Guys, that's the difference that deliverance makes. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your deliverance. We trust you in faith that it's coming for this virus. But in the meantime, God, we ask that you would release us from anxiety and worry and fear. Help us to cast our cares upon you, knowing that you are already on the throne, actively working on our behalf. If you're out there right now and you're watching this and you have never made Jesus the Lord of your life, and honestly, you don't know if you would go to heaven when you die. And all of this has really stirred your soul in a new way. I want to tell you that I don't believe it's an accident that you're here watching this today. And God promises to do 4 things for you. Number 1, he promises to forgive you of all your sins, past, present, and future. Just wipe it away. Number 2, he promises to adopt you into his family so you can be his own son or daughter. Number 3, he offers you his Holy Spirit so that you can live the life that he wants you to live. And finally, he offers you an eternal life that's beyond anything that any of us could ask for, dream, or imagine. There's only one catch. Jesus wants the steering wheel of your heart. And so if that's you, and you've been window shopping God and the Bible and the claims of Christianity, I want you to just pray this prayer with me. And it's not mystical. It's not magical. God's going to hear the faith in your heart right as you pray along. But just pray this with me if you would. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and the sins of the world. I believe you died there, and I believe you rose from the grave so I could have everlasting life. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Fill me with your Spirit and give me the power to live this life for you. God, I am tired of running. Here's the steering wheel of my heart. Would you take over? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Before you sign off, you can listen to more great messages on City Church's website at lovehopecity.com. Or if you have a question, send us an email at hello@lovehopecity.com. Come see us any Sunday at 701 West Broadway, Anaheim, California. Check the website for times and services.